right, all the Jesus-loving people are putting their hands together right now and just loving Jesus one more time. Happy New Year. Oh, let me try again. Happy New Year. Let's try this one. Happy Old Year. Because we're still in that year. Only a few more hours. New Zealand is already there. They're way ahead of the game. 6 o'clock this morning, they were having New Year's. Those people are just not right down there. A few more hours here. I just want to talk for a few moments about having a good ending. Because we're coming to the ending of another year. Have you ever read a book that had a bad ending? You read, and you're always hoping it would like get better, or that the pieces would come together, and it just kind of fell apart. You ever watched a movie? And some things were interesting, and you were hoping that it would tie together at the end, but it just doesn't. How many of you have ever watched a 2001 Space Odyssey? It's a weird movie. And you come to the end and go, what was that about? Or a lesser-known movie, a movie I like called Signs. And in that movie, Mel Gibson plays a minister, and he loses his way, he loses his faith, but then it's restored. And so that movie has a minister is in it, and also has invading aliens. So any movie that has a minister and invading aliens in the same movie, I gotta watch that movie. And it's a good movie. It's got a good story. I really like, if you see the movie, I really like Mel Gibson's brother who wears tinfoil on his head to keep the aliens from reading his mind. I love him. He's a great character. And then in the end, I love it that the aliens are defeated. I always love when the aliens are defeated. Don't you? You're not cheering for the aliens, are you? I was like, oh, I'm glad when they're defeated. But here's where it falls apart for me, because the aliens' weakness in this movie, their kryptonite, the thing that you defeat them, is not a ray, a death ray, it's water. These must be the dumbest aliens in the universe, because they're invading a planet that is 80% water, and to kill them, all you do is sprinkle a little water on them, and they die. It just kind of falls apart. Other than that, I like that movie. I really do. It's a good movie. Good movie. But if you sit through a movie or if you read a book that doesn't end well, you go, phew, what a waste. What a waste of time. When it has a good ending, you feel like, wow, that was good. And as we come to the end of another year, I just want you to have a good ending. In fact, I'd like you to have a good ending to every year. And the way to have a good ending to every year is to have a good ending to every month of the year, and every week of the year, and every day of the year. And so I just want to talk about having a good ending. There's a little proverb, just a one-sentence proverb that's in the book of Ecclesiastes that talks about the importance of ending and ending well. I'd like us to read it out loud. Let's read Ecclesiastes 7 and 8 out loud together. Are you ready to read it? I need a few more of you with us. Are you ready to read it? Yes. Here it is. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Well, we kind of know that in our lives, and we go on vacation. It's nice to go on vacation, nice to be, but it's always nice to come home and sleep in your own bed. That's nice. It's nice to go to college or to take an educational course, but it's nice to finally graduate. It's nice. It's nice when people are deployed and they serve our nation, but it's really nice when they come back home safe. It's ended well. If you go for surgery, always nice when surgery ends. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. And it's talking about the importance of ending well, having a good ending. And because we're only a few hours away from the ending of this year, let's just make sure that we end well. And as we prepare for that, there's a passage of scripture in Romans chapter 13 that says it's important that we're aware of time and the passing of time, and that we use our time wisely. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 says this to us, and do this. You see this? Thank you. Wow. The Spirit is moving. The Spirit is moving. No, okay. Ushers, help me, because these young ladies are going, but just make sure they sit at the back. They can't come back up. They can't really do that. Okay? Just help me out. Where was I? Just checking. You're with me. And do this. Knowing the time. Everybody say knowing the time. It says be, this really is calling us to be aware of the time, that now, everybody say now, it's high time to wake out of sleep. Just check your neighbor. I've been a preacher many years. It happens. Wake out of sleep, that now, everybody say now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It's nearer than when we first believed. What does that mean? That means actually that we are closer. We're closer to the end of our life than we were last year at this time. That's true for everybody in the building. We are nearer to the end than we were last year. There's a passage of time. And this passage is saying, wake up. Just be aware of the passing of time, that it's so brief. The scripture says that life is like a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. There's a great passage in Psalm 90 and verse 12 that says, teach us to number our days that we can live wisely. Be aware of the passage of time, because when you're aware of the passage of time, you're more likely to use time wisely. Because this passage tells us when the best time to plan for a good ending, it just gives us when that time is, and that time is a three-letter word in the passage. The best time to plan for a good ending is now. So wake just now, to be aware now, that's a good time. I don't know what kind of year 2017 was for you. I don't know how you would rate it out of 10, maybe 8, 9, 10. Maybe it was a great year. Maybe it was a kind of a bust year. Maybe it was a 2, 3, or 4. But here's what this passage is saying. Hey, yesterday is gone. Whether it was good, bad, or indifference, it's gone. The time to decide to have a good ending is? Okay, I think this side got it over here. Let me try this side over here. The time to plan for a great ending is now. Try this side. Think you know what to do? The time to plan for a great ending is now. It's now. Now's the time. Did you want to try? Did you not join in that one? You were waiting for your own section over there? When is it? Very weak. Very weak, that side. I don't know. You had a good start. You were good at the beginning, but you petered out at the end. It's just, okay, let me say it like this. If you're taking some notes, the key is to wake up and live now. Live now and just be aware, okay, today. There are some things, some changes that you could make in this room today that will influence the good ending of this year. There is some baggage that you need to leave here and not take back out to your car. There's some stuff you need to lay down in this room because it'll give you a good ending to this year. And the time to do that, it's now. This time of year, they'll do on television these little, it's like the people that have passed on in the last year, whether they're in entertainment or in politics or just leaders, educators, people of significance, the world considers significant, and they'll run a long list of them. And I always get like a little bit of sadness when I see the pictures and go, we'll never hear that voice again, that person will never make a smile again, we'll never hear from that person again. But it just reminds me of the brevity of life, that the time to live is now. The time to love is now. The time to change is now. Time to decide to wake up is now. And that's what this passage is saying. It's saying, okay, I want you to wake up and be aware that your life matters, and it matters now because you are closer. Here's what, because you are closer to the end than you used to be. There's a cheery thought. Happy New Year. Well, the mortality rate is still running at 100%, right? It's still like 100%. So just be aware of that. Wake up now. And then decide, okay, because life is so short, let me bring you to the second thing. Because life is so short, I just really encourage you as you end this year to declutter emotional baggage. Or if you're taking some extra notes, you can write it down like this. To declutter the darkness of your life. Here's how the scripture puts it in verse 12. The night is far spent. I could say the year that we're in is far spent. It's almost over. It's far spent. And the day is at hand. So this is about moving from one season into another. There's an ending of one and the beginning of another. It's ideal for where we are right here. There's the ending of one year. There's the beginning of a new year. And what instruction does the word give to us? We should therefore, because one season is ending and a new season is starting, therefore we should cast off works of darkness. Everybody say that. Cast off works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let's do that. I just think that this is a great time of year to declutter. I encourage you to declutter physically, like to look over your files, and if you haven't touched some stuff for years, let it go. I encourage you to go through your closets and let some stuff go. If you didn't wear it all last year, let it go. I'm messing now. Come on. Okay, let me do this one. How many of you got some clothing for Christmas? Okay, so every new piece of clothing you put in your closet, you at least should take something out because the storage in your closet is not infinite. And here's what I believe about clutter. Get this. Clutter attracts clutter. So your closet starts to get a little messy, and all of a sudden it looks like a jungle. Go through, Salvation Army would love your stuff. Go through your files, go through your closets, go through your garage. There's some stuff out there, you don't even know what it is. Just let it go, let it go. So. That doesn't just happen physically. Get this principle that clutter attracts clutter. That's not just true physically. That's a metaphor to what happens emotionally and spiritually. That when we start to allow darkness to creep in, darkness, clutter attracts more. It gets worse and worse. And there comes a moment, and this is a good one, because we're moving from one season to another, that we look at our lives and we do a self-evaluation. As we move from one season into the next, have I allowed spiritual darkness to clutter my life? Because the best way to have a good ending is, number one, to have a good beginning. We're going to talk about that all next month, a fresh start, a new anointing for a new season. You need to have a good start. Then you need to stay on track. And like, if you are like me, you have a tendency to drift. I think everybody I know has a tendency to drift. And from time to time, you need the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart to go, okay, come back on track. Declutter the darkness. And that's what this passage is saying. Cast off the works of darkness so that you can have a good ending. You will not have a good ending if you keep on that track of darkness. And then he puts it almost in military terms or in battle terms because he says, put on the armor. That's a military term. Put on the armor of light. Do you know that really you are engaged in a battle between light and darkness over your soul? We are involved in a battle of darkness for light and darkness in our community. We are involved in a battle of light and darkness in our state, in our nation. And I would push it out and say, over the world. There's a battle. And that's the basis of almost every storyline. There is a dark side, and there's a light side. There's the protagonist, there's the antagonist. And for a story to really end well, we like what side to win. You don't have to believe in God or anything, but in your soul, this is the way we're wired. In your soul, when you see the story and you see the dark and the light, which side wins, or which side would you like to win to make the story end well? Exactly. That's why in the Hallmark movies, the right guy always gets the right girl. There's a reason, guys. There is a reason that Hallmark has become the number one channel at Christmas. Because those Hallmark hotties are always getting the right girl at the right time. And that's why there has to be more Star Wars stories. Because right now, if you're following, the dark side is creeping up. And it needs light side. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because we just go, well, that's what we need. And that's not just true in storybooks. That's true in your soul. God says, clothe yourself in light because there is a battle for your soul. Declutter the darkness. Don't drag, can I just say it like this? Don't drag the darkness of 2017 into 2018. Leave it here today. What does he say? Cast it off today. How do you do that? You give it to God. Say, God, I'm leaving it. I am casting this off. I don't want this darkness to be part of my life anymore, so that you can, number three, walk in the light. The more you cast off darkness, the more light grows. Or we could do it the reverse. The more light grows, the more darkness is cast off. Here's what the next verse says to us. Let us walk properly. Which means there is an improper way to walk that will end up in darkness and the story will not end well. But we're talking about a good ending. So to get a good ending, you have to have a good walk. You have to walk properly as in the day. Well, the sun is up. He's just saying walk in the light. Walk while it's light out. Walk in the light. And then he has some certain habits or certain issues that we should look at, that we should get rid of, that we should offload, that we should cast off. And he mentions revelry. What's that? Drunkenness. Oh, we know what that is. Lewdness and lust. Strife and envy. And he just says these are things you should offload so that you will actually walk in the light. I think it's good to make New Year's resolutions, but let me talk to you just for a moment about making old year resolutions. The things that we would just resolve to get rid of, and I just wrote some of them down. And they're in this list. I resolve that I'm going to offload this issue, this darkness. If there's any darkness that's come into your soul, this is the time to get rid of it, to let it go. So that you have a good ending. And revelry. So revelry. I resolve that I will not waste my time in a party lifestyle. Some people are. That simply lives for the weekend so I can party. I will spend my days helping others live better lives. I'm not going to waste it in revelry. Drunkenness. I resolve that I will not waste my life on mind-altering substances. I will have a clear mind and clear emotions to do the most good in the world. Lewdness and lust. I will not waste my life on impurities and immorality. I will give my life to help others to be whole and holy, not broke and broken. Strife. Oh, here's a good one. Here's some stuff you should lay down. I resolve that I will not waste my life on unforgiveness. Could I get an amen in the house? This is just true. You should do an inventory. You should do an inventory of your life and just go, you know what? I'm not taking unforgiveness into 2018. I'm going to finish this story well. I'm going to have a good ending. I'm going to lay down unforgiveness. Someone doesn't have to ask to be forgiven. All you have to do is say, I forgive them. Forgiveness is the gift you give yourself. I will not waste my life on unforgiveness and bitterness. I will pray that God blesses everyone, including my enemies. Thank you. Envy. Oh, here's the one. I resolve that I will not waste my life on wanting things other people have, or to endlessly compare myself to others. Wow, that'd be great to lay down. I will live in a life of contentment and peace with what I have and who I am as I continue to grow in grace. Old year resolutions. Not just Happy New Year. Right now, some things we do now while we're still in the old year. Happy old year. Don't wait, I'll do this tomorrow. No, do it today. Happy old year, today. Now is the time. We can't live in the future, we can't live in the past, but now we're right here, right now. Happy old year. Nudge your neighbor, tell him happy old year. Go ahead, tell him happy old year. So that I'll live in the light. Living in the light means living honestly. The people that Jesus was hardest on were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the hypocrites that wore masks. They weren't honest. And he just said, people that were honest with Jesus, he loved them. Hey, Lord, I've got problems. He said, great, let me help you with them. So to live in the light is just stop shading the truth. Stop pretending. Stop coming to church every week and saying, everything's perfect. No, live in the light. Be honest. But then ask for help. That's what your brothers and sisters are here for. That's what Jesus is here for. Living in the light is living honestly to say, I need help, and then letting God help you so that you finish your story well. The early Olympians in Greece used to have a race that was run. We watch now when the Olympics are on, they pass the torch from person to person to person to person. Well, in the Greek times, they had a race that did that, but the object of the race was not to finish the race first. The winners of the race were the people that finished with their torches still lit. And that's how we want to finish this year and every year, this month and every month, this week and every week, that the torch would still be lit, that we're not, and you just look at your torch, look at your life and go, something's gone out. There's a fire that's gone out. There's a passion that's gone out. There's a darkness that's crept in. Well, now is the time to resolve it and just say, God, I invite a new fire. I invite a new light. I want to walk in the light. I want to put on the armor of light. And the way to do that is not through your own strength or ability, but just with God's help. And that's what God wants to give to all of us today. He wants to give us his help. And here's how the scripture describes it. That we would live in Christ, that he would surround us and be in us. And the metaphor that's used in this passage of scripture is that we would be clothed, that we would literally, like you, how many put clothes on today? Almost 100%, that's good. No, so we do clothes, and see what it says in verse 13? Verse 14, let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we make no provision for the flesh or to fulfill its lust. So literally put on, what is that? What's that about? That means that when you put Jesus on, that when people meet you, what they see or who they see is Jesus Christ. Look, we see what you're wearing today. You got dressed. Thank you very much. We see what you're wearing, and it's what we perceive. People dressed up in holiday clothing over the holiday season. Christmas, people put on these crazy sweaters. Ugly sweaters. Like there's been an explosion over the last few years of ugly sweaters. They have companies that make, you don't even have to wait for your sweater to get ugly. You just buy an ugly sweater. And when people see it, they go, oh, that's an ugly sweater. And then they have contests to see who has the ugliest sweater. Well, what this verse is saying, hey, when people meet you, they shouldn't say ugly sweater. They said, there's something about you. I see Jesus. So let me ask you, what are you wearing this year? What are you wearing next year? Yeah, it's to be clothed. So when people meet you, they feel the presence of Jesus. Clothed in light is to be walking with Christ in you, Christ through you, Christ around you. And to end this year well, we want to end this year with, in, and surrounded by Christ. My grandmother was a huge spiritual influence on my life. She used to pray for me every day. And if you have a praying grandmother, you are a blessed person. And she was so in tune with the Spirit of God that she would know when I needed extra prayer, because as I grew, I loved God, but sometimes I would drift into darkness. Come on, you're looking at me like that never happened to you. Come on. And my grandmother would be praying. And she would call on the days that I really need, and she would say, what's going on with Scott? What's happening? Well, there's a problem right now. It's drifting off course. I was surrounded by people that were keep putting me back on course, which is what I'm just talking to you about today. My mother would pray for me, and God would talk to her, and he would tell on me. True. So when you drift into darkness, darkness has stuff that goes along with darkness, dark stuff. And if I ever brought this home, dark stuff home, I would want to hide it, right? That's how you can tell it's dark stuff, because you don't want people to know you got it. That's one of the ways you can tell. You're not living openly. You're hiding stuff, sheltering it away. So I brought home dark stuff, and I hid it. I hid it really well. How many know that in the far, far reaches of the world, they have basements? In the frozen tundra areas, you know, basements, it's like a room under your house. They do that under your house. So I went down into our basement, and I found a great hiding place. This hole that the last person to put their hand in the hole was the guy who built it. It was filled with cobwebs. Nobody had ever gone. So I hid my stuff, my dark stuff. And I came home from school, and it was sitting on the kitchen table. I'm praying quietly. I'm praying, dear God, dear God, dear God, forgive me, please, forgive me. Please, Jesus, Jesus, come right now. Come now, Jesus. Come now, catch your church, catch me up, take me to heaven, put me at a far side, put me on one side of heaven, my mother at the other side of heaven, please, Lord, please, please, please. My mom's like a master psychologist. She doesn't say anything. It's like working in the kitchen. This on the table. She makes me bring it up. And finally, I just say, Mom, how'd you find that? Well, I was praying this morning, and God told me to go look in that hole in the basement. I had to give sin up. I had to just give it up, man. I was one of those kids that got caught at everything I did. Because people are always saying, hey, back to the light. Hey, come on back. And I want, you know why? Because they wanted me to finish well. And that's what I'm just calling. I say, hey, come back. Come back. My grandmother, who I just adore, lived in a small little cottage. And the walls were plastered with stuff. And there was one plaque on the wall that just really touched me every time I read it. And it was just a statement that said, only one life. 'Twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I thought about that. That's what this passage is about. It's like, wake up now. Now's the time to end well. Choose now to end well. Walk well now. Walk in the light now, because there's only one chance. It will soon be passed. As I grew, I wondered who, because it was anonymous on the wall, and I wondered who wrote that, and it happened to be a guy named C.T. Studd, who fell in love with Jesus and lived in India for a while and told people in India about Jesus, and lived in China for a while and told people in China about Jesus. And then late in life, he heard that a lot of people in Africa didn't know about Jesus. And even though the doctor said, don't go, he went and he was telling them about Jesus. Why? He was driven. Because only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. C.T. Studd didn't care about the things of this world. He wanted to walk in the light. In fact, he promoted an attitude amongst Christians that was actually controversial. He lived in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, and he encouraged an attitude called DCD. Now, maybe you've heard about WWJD. This is different. This is JCD, and here's what it stood for. And it was controversial, and when I say it, it's going to be controversial. Don't care a damn. My grandmother did not have that up on her wall. But C.T. Studd, he's what this world offers you, DCD. Because you only got one life to live, and it's soon going to be passed. And the only things that really matter are the things that you've done when you are clothed in Christ. The things that you did when you were armored in light. So take a moment to evaluate your life. And if your soul has drifted, listen to the calling, not of Scott's voice, but of the Spirit's voice that says, come back. So that you finish this year with a good ending. In Jesus' name. Let's stand for prayer. Can we do that? Let's close our eyes. Let's open our hearts. Our prayer team is going to come and just prepare to pray for people. And I'm just going to, first of all, just encourage you to take a moment of personal reflection. I do not want to lay condemnation. That's not what I do. I do encourage conviction. That's something the Spirit does. And that's to draw you back. Is there anything dark that's been grappling for your soul? Cast it off. Wake up. Wake up. We're shifting from one season into another, and this is the time to decide to have a good ending to this year. To lay down things that have clouded your judgment, affected your marriage, touched your attitudes towards others. Revelry, drunkenness, lewdness, stuff that Paul writes to us about. Envy, strife, lay it down. And we're going to pray a family prayer, a community prayer together, because we love to pray together, and I'm going to lead in the prayer. And if you've been far away from God, this is a chance to come into his family, or maybe make a fresh start with God. First time, or first time in a long time. We just want to pray honestly these words, not just from our mouth and from our head, but from our heart. So would you pray with the people around you this simple prayer that says, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I open my heart, my life, to Jesus Christ. Come into my soul. I repent of darkness. I want to walk in the light. I want to end this year well. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Good prayer, good prayer, good prayer, good prayer. Yeah. So look this way just for a moment, because as we come to an end, we want to encourage you to pray, to just lay stuff down. Remember to bring your prayer sheets as well. Put them on the altar of things we're going to pray over in 2018. We want to do that. In these next few moments, our prayer team is available also. Communion, if you would like to commune with Jesus. In communion, that's taking the bread and the cup and thinking about what Jesus did on the cross, remembering what Jesus did. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive communion or prayer. Just be a friend of Jesus, and you're welcome to come. Let him, like, Let him work on you. And if you need to lay some stuff down before you go out, lay it down in prayer. Just say, I'm going to put this here. I'm going to pray one more prayer of blessing. After that prayer, there's no other benediction. You can come forward for prayer, for communion. You can worship with the worship team. You can go with the grace of God. If you've been a guest, please stop by the VIP room because we want to meet you and give you some gifts. Just glad you're here. Love you to come back. Love you to be part of 2018 with us as we grow in grace and as God gives us a fresh start. We're going to talk about the importance of new beginnings next week and through the month of January. But let me bless you guys. Now I pray that the God of hope would fill you, your home, your household, your business, your school, with all joy and all peace. That the shalom of God would be yours. And these things come as you trust in God and lean into Him and lean upon Him and draw from His strength and His power. When you do that, you literally will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray blessing on our prayer team. May they flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit's presence here bring life-changing power to these moments. Bless the communion as we receive the bread and cup of the Lord and thank you for Jesus and what He did on the cross for me and for all of my friends here. I pray that Jesus will bless you, and I bless you in His name. And in the strong and mighty name of Jesus, you are truly, truly blessed. And everybody says together, amen. God bless you guys. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Come forward for prayer, for communion. Let the Lord work in our hearts. Amen.